Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
How many of you remember, or shall I say, some of you might remember in the late or mid 2000s, that there was this young lady by the name of Lolo Jones, and she was a track star, you know, in the circuit, the track circuit, you know, around the world, made to the Olympics a couple times or whatever. But anyway, I'm gonna tell you a little story about Lolo Jones. Lolo, she was born in Des Moines, Iowa, and she went to the same high school that our kids went to, which is Roosevelt High School. And you know, she became a well-known track athlete. You know, she set Iowa State high school record. She ran 100 meter hurdles, and she ran in a 13:40 race. I'm not sure if that record still holds to this day, but you know, she had a stellar high school track career. Let me tell you something special about her high school track career. Her family, her parents, they were moving to a small town in Iowa. They were living in Des Moines, and they were getting ready to move to a really small town in Iowa. And she did not want to go to this town, because the high school in that town did not have a track team. And so she told her parents that she didn't want to go because she wants to run track. She wants to be a track star. And so through a range of events, there was the coaches at Roosevelt High School arranged for her to stay with them. And so she stayed with several families throughout her high school years. People who were a part of the athletic program at Roosevelt High School. And so they were able to let her, you know, stay there in Des Moines and to continue running her track. She knew at that time that she wanted to be a major track star. So at Roosevelt, she became a state known, you know, statewide athlete, you know, stellar athlete in track. After she left Roosevelt, after she graduated, she went to LSU. There was another young lady that was running track at the time that she was running track at Roosevelt. She was a couple of years ahead of Lolo. Her name was Kim Carson. And Kim Carson, she went to LSU and she became a stellar athlete, a nationally known athlete. Kim Carson, she at LSU, I think she had several championships with LSU track team. And she became known as, she became an All-American national champion at LSU. And so Lolo decided to follow her, and she went to LSU as well because they were track mates at Roosevelt. And in her career at LSU, she became, Lolo became an 11-time All-American athlete. And she was a 6-time SEC champion. And she ranked amongst the top three of all-time all-time athletes running the 60-meter hurdles, the indoor hurdles, and then also the 100-meter hurdles. So she became a track star, nationally known, real fast. And in her track, in her career, she continued to excel to the top of her top of her level, you know, becoming a world known track star and a hurdler. And then in 2008, and this is where most people really began to know her, you know, around the world. But she was, before this, she was, again, worldwide athlete. But in 2008, she made it to the Beijing Olympics. And during the Beijing Olympics, she was running. She ran. She also did relay races as well. She was on the 4x100 team as well. And so, but she was running the hurdles in the Olympics, and she was favored to win the gold medal during the 2008 Beijing Olympics, running the 100-meter hurdles. All right. You know, she is in the final race. She made it all the way to the finals, and here she is, you know, about to, she's running for the gold medal, which she was expected to win the gold. And all of a sudden, in all of her preparation, all of her planning, everything that she did to get to this place, she clips the ninth hurdle and she stumbles and she loses the race. You know, here's a young lady that since early age, she prepared, she planned. You know, her parents were leaving Des Moines and pulling her out of Roosevelt High School to go move to a small town. And she told them, I don't want to go. They don't have a track team. I want to stay here at Roosevelt. Roosevelt got a great track team. I want to stay here. I want to be a track star. And they arranged for her to stay there. And as the, you know, like I told you, stay with some different families and a couple of coaches there and what have you, so that she could stay there and continue to develop her track career. And so all of her planning and preparation and everything to get to this place to where she's running in the Olympic for the gold medal, everything put in the right place, everything planned, everything, she got to that place. Here she is, the favorite to win the gold. Everybody knew she's going to walk away with the gold. She got this. It's a done deal. We can already just hand her the gold medal. And she gets to this place and she clips and she loses. She loses the race, you know? And so here this girl prepared her whole life, you know, most of her life, shall I say, to get to this place. And, you know, she broke. This young lady, in an instance, she lost it. Here's something I want you to know about. Okay, wait a minute. Let me back up here. I got lost in my race. Here's a young lady. She did everything that she was supposed to do. She did everything right. Her planning was good. I'm not saying it was perfect, but her planning was a great plan. She had great coaches around her. She had great mentors around her. She saw the benefits and of the people that she was surrounded with. You know, here's a young lady that she was with Kim Carson, who was an elite athlete as well. She saw Kim Carson and was being mentored by Kim Carson. She followed her to LSU, where Kim Carson was a national champion, elite runner, and she followed in her footsteps, becoming a national elite runner as well. She, you know, after her college, she trained with all the right professionals, everybody. She make it to the Olympics, and she get there to the goal, and she loses. You know, here's something else about Lolo that some of you may know, some of you may not notice. But did you know that she was a brave, outspoken young woman in her faith in God and in Christ? That was one of the things about her that drew some attention to her as well. So it wasn't just her athletic ability and her athletic career, her athletic success, but she was a very outspoken young woman, very brave young woman when it came to her faith in God and her faith and her belief in Jesus Christ all the way, you know, back in high school. She was very, very outspoken about it. And not only that, she was also very unashamed to the fact that she was a virgin and that she was saving herself for marriage. You know, she was like, you know, I ain't messing around with nobody. Ain't nobody messing around with me. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Bible. And it says that we should save ourselves to marriage. So I'm saving myself to marriage for marriage, you know. And so you think about this and this is like, dang, she did everything right. She did everything right. She did what she was supposed to do. And here she is, get to the highlight of her entire career. She gets that place that she had prepared for all these years and she loses. You know, one would ask yourself, why God, why did you let this happen? Why didn't you let her win this race? You know, I'm sure that no one has the answer to that. Maybe she, even to this day, may not have the answer to that question. Why didn't God let her win? She did everything she was supposed to do. She did everything right. She represented God unashamedly. She preserved herself. You know, she gets to this place and like, why God, why did you, you know, let's think about it like this. You know, if God was to give it to her, would he be honoring her prayers while rejecting the prayers of other athletes who were praying for the same thing? I'm sure that Lolo was not the only person that was lined up on that line getting ready to run that race. I'm sure Lolo wasn't the only person praying that they would win that race. So if you got all these women that standing on the line and all of them are praying for the same thing, who is God going to give it to? How do God choose who he's going to give it to? Is he going to say, oh, I'm going to give it to Lolo because she's the favor? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give it to Lolo because she represents me. She's unashamed to say that she loves me. She's unashamed to say that I am the Christ. She's saving herself for marriage. You know what I'm saying? She's honoring herself. You know what I'm saying? While honoring me, I'm going to give it to Lolo. But you got somebody else who we don't know. We don't know their story. You know, we don't know what they've done. We don't know if they've done, you know, the same thing that Lolo has done so far as doing all the right things and stuff. Maybe Lolo is just a physically or mentally better athlete than the other person, but they've done everything right too. And they're praying too that they win. So if that's the case, how do we determine who God is going to give it to? Or how does God determine who he's going to give it to? It's a good question, right? Good question. Sometimes we must come to terms that God will not always show us favor, even in our best efforts. That's a hard pill to swallow, ain't it? It's a hard pill to swallow. Even in our best efforts, sometimes God will not always show us favor. I know that somebody listening to me right now can relate to this. Amen. There's been times in your life where you felt that you've done all the right things. You've done all the planning. You've done all the preparation. You've done your best to represent God as best as you can. You've done your best to maybe to honor yourself in the process. And you felt like, man, I did everything that I was supposed to do, but yet I did not get the outcome that I was expecting. In all of my best efforts, I did not get it. You know, I know this sounds crazy, but it's true. How many of you gave your children the ultimate prize every time that they performed at the highest level? I think about it. For those of you that have children, you know, whatever age they are, you know, you got your parent, you know, when your kids perform at their highest level, how many times did you give them the ultimate prize or the ultimate reward for performing at the highest level? Sometimes you did and sometimes you didn't, right? And so, and in those times that you didn't, guess what? You had your reasons for not doing it. Doesn't mean, you know, and when you had your reasons for doing it, your children probably did not understand. Because we reward them sometimes at the highest, when they perform at their highest levels, and we reward them with the ultimate prize. And, you know, sometimes they develop in their minds that they're going to get rewarded every single time they perform at their highest level. Not always true. Not always. And here's the thing. It doesn't mean that you love them less if you don't reward them for performing at their highest level. And just like with us as parents, we can relate to that. Okay. So God is the same way. When God does not reward us, you know, with the ultimate prize, when we perform at the highest level, it does not mean that he loves us less. It just doesn't. And that's a hard pill to swallow. That's a hard thing to understand or to accept. Sometimes we want God to bless. We expect God to, every time we do good, or every time we perform at the highest level, every time we do everything right, we're expecting God to just give us a trophy. You know what I'm saying? And that's not the case. That's not always true. You know, it doesn't mean that we love our children less, and it doesn't mean that God love us less. Maybe there's something bigger than us that's at play. There's always something going on behind the scenes that we have no clue about. There's always something that's happening. There's something that God is doing, and we're not aware of all of his works, you know, and we have to understand that. There are times as a parent, there are things that we're doing, things that we know, things that we're planning, things that we understand. Our children just don't know. And sometimes our actions, you know, because we don't tell them every single detail and every single thought about something that's going on and that led us to certain decisions or certain actions. And they don't understand always. And so that's how you can, you know, kind of get a grip on this understanding. You know, I know that there's times where my kids didn't understand all the time some of my or our actions and our, you know, things that we decisions that we made, you know, and there was a bigger thing at play. I remember when we moved here to Des Moines, made the decision to move here to Des Moines. Tia was devastated. Yeah, to Memphis. We made the decision to move here to Memphis. She was devastated. So here she is. She has lived her whole life in the same house. Dion and Nene, they lived in several places, but Tia lived her whole life in the same house. She went to the school with the same kids. You know, here she is in high school, and she's at Roosevelt High School, same school that Lolo went to, Lolo Jones went to. And guess what? Tia is running on the track team, and she is a very good track athlete. She started running track when she was like 6 years old, I believe. What?
She was five. She was, yeah, 5 or 6.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years old, she started running track. And she ran track all, you know, all those years. And she even made it to the AAU Nationals. We went to New Orleans 1 year in the track in the AAU Nationals. And she ran in a race there. And here she is. She is on Roosevelt's track team that produced Kim Carson, that produced Lolo Jones, Olympian. OK, and guess what? Phil Ferguson, which was Kim Carson's coach and Lolo Jones coach when Tia first started, I think Phil was still there. I think he was her head coach. And then a couple years after that, he stepped down and a guy by the name of Patrick Lewis, a really good friend of mine, he became the head coach of the team. But here she is on this team. And in her senior year, guess what happens? We pull her out and move her to Memphis. She was devastated. Devastated. And so, but we made this decision. She was performing. She's performing. She's doing well in school. She's a good kid. You know, she's running track. She's producing. You know, she's running well. She had actually had an injury, I believe, in her 11th grade year. She had an injury. She had to pull out during halfway through the season, tore a muscle in her thigh or something like that. You know, and she was at the place on the track team where she was building her strength back, and she had got to the place where she's starting back to win races and everything like that. And then here we are in her senior year, and we're pulling her out. Oh, she did not understand. And sometimes we don't understand when we perform at certain levels and we perform at these high levels and God doesn't reward us and God doesn't show us favor. You know, maybe there's something bigger that's going on. We must trust that God knows what he's doing. All right. Y'all want to know today's title? That was the big old introduction with it. Okay. Here's today's title. If you're taking those, write this down. Expect the unexpected. Now, I know that's a powerful statement, ain't it? Expect the unexpected. The main point for today's message is this. Don't be surprised when an unexpected or an unusual event happens. Anything could happen and probably will. I mean, I know many of you can relate to this. You know, there are times where things just happen. I'll give you an example. You know, we were prepared. We had did so much preparation for today, and we were prepared to have our church today service this morning at the Playhouse on the Square, you know, and then through a series of events, things that are out of our control through unexpected or unusual event happened. And that was ice storm came through the ice. And the freezing temperatures came through, and we got people still to this moment that are without power around our city, and the Playhouse is without power, so therefore we can't have service there. Well, guess what? In all of our best planning and all of our best preparations and all of our expectations of having service this morning did not happen because the unexpected happened. You know, there are going to be times where the unexpected happened. There are going to be times where unusual things happen, and anything could happen, and anything, you know, some things probably will happen. It doesn't mean that you did something wrong at all. Okay, here's our main scripture for today, and that is for all this. This is the Apostle Paul that's talking here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 1. He says this. He says, for all this I considered in my heart. He mean I seriously have thought about this thing deep down, not just in my mind, but deep down in my heart. I've given this thing some serious consideration, some serious thought, even to declare all these things that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hands of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. Okay, let's read this in the New Living Translation. Okay, let's translate it a little bit so we can understand it in today's terms. But I'm gonna read this one more time from the King James Version, okay? It says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hands of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." So in the New Living Translation, it says this. It says, "This too I have carefully observed, even though the actions of godly and wise people are in God's hands, no one knows whether God will show them favor." In other words, no one knows if you're going to be rewarded. In all of your godliness, in all of your wisdom, in all of your right doing, in all of your right planning, right preparation, all of that that you do that is the right thing to do, we still don't know if God is going to give us a trophy for our efforts. Sometimes he will give us a trophy. Sometimes we'll be standing on that podium and getting the gold medal strapped around our necks. Sometimes we won't. But how do we know this? How do we know if God is going to give us a medal or not? How do we know if he's going to reward us or not? How do we know if he's going to show us favor or not? We don't. You know, there are times in our lives when we must expect the unexpected. Things happen. Sometimes in our planning and all of our planning and all of our preparation, things don't go as we expected. Things happen. We do all the right planning and all the right preparation, and even in all of our best efforts, things sometimes don't go like we plan them to go. We don't get the outcome that we were expecting to get. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "This too I carefully explored, even though the actions of all godly or the actions of godly and the wise people are in God's hands, no one knows whether God will show them favor." He goes on to say in verse number 11, and I want everybody to pay attention to this. Verse number 11, so we're skipping down from verse number 1 in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, jumping down to verse number 11 in that same chapter. So in that same writing that he's writing, and he says this, he says, "I have observed something under the sun, something here on earth. The fastest runner does not always win the race." Lolo Jones was the fastest runner in the world at that time. She was the fastest, but she didn't win. He says here, "I have observed something here on earth. The fastest runner does not always win the race. The strongest warrior does not always win the battle. The wisest or the wise sometimes go hungry." Listen to these words now. "The wise sometimes go hungry." He says, "And the skillful are not always wealthy." Okay. He goes on to say this. "Those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided." Here's this. This is the catcher right here. So if you're paying attention, pay attention to this. He says, "It is all decided by chance and by being in the right place at the right time." Oh, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. You mean to tell me, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, you mean to tell me that the fastest runner is not going to always win? Let's stop for just a moment. There's an important word in here. Always. Always. That's an important word. Always. Yeah, the fastest runner is not always going to win. He didn't say the fastest runner is not going to win or not going to ever win. The fastest runner will not always win. As a parent, when your children perform at their highest level and they do everything right, we're not going to always give them a trophy. But it doesn't mean that we're never going to give them a trophy. We will. We'll reward them. We'll give them a trophy, but not always. So when you read this, when you understand this scripture, don't understand this scripture from a defeated mindset. Understand this scripture from the right perspective. Okay? He says, I've observed something under the sun here on earth. The fastest runner does not always win. They're going to win. They're going to get a trophy. But they're not going to always win. The strongest warrior is not going to always win the battle. The wise will sometimes go hungry. Not all the time. Maybe not even most of the time. But not sometimes we'll go hungry. The skillful will not necessarily be wealthy. Doesn't mean they're going to be poor. They could be poor, but not necessarily going to be wealthy. Okay, you may be a very skillful person. Very skillful person. You can, whatever your skill set is that you have, you probably can perform that, outperform people that you know that are making millions of dollars doing it. And you know you could do it better, but why aren't you a millionaire? The skillful are not always wealthy, and those who are educated do not always lead successful lives. There are some people out here, and we're looking at them, and they are so educated, but it's like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, you got so much education. Why are you wasting it? You know, who knows? There's a lot of circumstances and situations that are going on there. He said, it is all decided by chance and by being in the right place at the right time. There are always things going on behind the scenes that we are unaware of, things that are out of our control. Today, the fact that we're here on Zoom and not in person at the Playhouse is evidence that there were some things that was out of our control. We can't control the weather, which is the reason that we are having church on Zoom and not at the Playhouse today, okay? But we're still having church, all right? We're not defeated. It just, things changed, all right? There are some things that are going to happen that's out of our control. Unexpected things will more than likely happen. The challenge is when they do, we almost instantly look for blame. Whenever something happens or whenever the unexpected happens or whenever something happens that the unplanned circumstance happens and that's out of our control and it sets things, you know, back or it changes things, you know, we instantly look for blame. We instantly start looking for something like, what happened here? What happened here? No. And looking for blame. We look back over every detail and we try to figure out what went wrong, hoping that we can find something that we can use to reverse the outcome. You know what I'm saying? Something happens and we start looking for blame. Okay, what happened? And okay, this is what happened. We need to fix that, or we need to do this. Or I'm going after that person, or I'm going to sue that person. Or I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We're always looking for that we can use to reverse the outcome. Sometimes we can find something to reverse the outcome. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can't. There is always something going on. There's a saying. I want you guys to write this down if you're taking notes. There's a saying. Always plan in pencil, not ink. When you're making your plans, always plan in pencil, not ink. Because of the chance of the unexpected, when things don't go as we plan, we can always, we can always erase certain things in our plans and do what? Adjust. We can always erase things and we can adjust things. So plan in pencil, don't plan in ink. Chances are, you know, there's some things that's probably going to happen. The unexpected probably going to happen. You know, uncertain event probably is going to happen. And when that do, we got to be ready to change our plans. We don't abandon our whole plan. We just adjust where the unexpected happened. You know, in this verse, Paul lets us know that sometimes bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. We know it. This is a reality in our lives. Sometimes we see, you know, sometimes bad things happen to good things and good things happen to bad people. Everything will not always be in our favor. And in those times, the outcome may be decided by chance. Or maybe it might be being at the right place at the right time. You know, things happen by chance or by being in the right place at the right time. You know, it's a hard concept to understand when it comes to God. When we think about God and we say, you know, sometimes things just happen by chance, or maybe it's just being at the right place at the right time. When this whole concept of thinking, it's hard for us to understand or hard for us to accept when it comes to God. But in our everyday lives, it's easy for us to understand it and to accept it. We say it all the time. We use it all the time. We accept it all the time. In our everyday lives, we're like, man, you know, man, by chance, you know what I mean? Being at the right place at the right time. We tell people this all the time. We, you know, there's times in our personal lives where things have happened by chance. You know, we got rewarded. We won something, or we got a promotion, or we got, you know, something happened. We got, you know, a new car, a new house. I mean, we found favor in areas that we think about we shouldn't have found favor in, because guess what? We wasn't the best. But for some reason, maybe by chance, we got it. You know, there's times sometimes where things happen to us where we receive a blessing, or we receive something good, or something good happened to us simply because we were at the right place at the right time. How many of you have been walking down the street one day and found money laying on the ground? Why you? You was at the right place at the right time. I remember one time, I think Nene, we was together as a family. I can't remember where we were at. And we're walking down the street somewhere, and me, Marguerite, and our kids, and I think it was Nene that first one found some money. She saw some money laying on the ground as we were walking down the sidewalk, right? And we was like, oh my gosh, you know, I think like a 20 or a 50 or something like that. You know, it wasn't no ones. And then as we kept moving, there's like more money and more money and more money. I think it was some in a sum of like $300 or something like that, you know, that she ended up finding. Because she would run ahead of us. And, we got, you know, the rest of us picked up a few here and there. But Nene was the initial ones. Nene was the one who was getting all this money, buying all this money. It was like a trail of money on the sidewalk as we was walking. And we took it and we opened up a bank account for her. And we put it in a bank for her. We're like, Nene, this is your money. You found it. This is your money. You know what I mean? How did that happen? Being at the right place at the right time. You know, so when it comes here, think about this, right? You know, if this is a reality in the natural realm, why is it hard for us to accept this being a reality in the spiritual realm? Guess what? God created both realms. He created the natural realm and he created the spiritual realm. If this is a reality in the natural realm, that means that God had to have something to do with the creation of it. And if it's a reality in the natural realm, then why can't it be a reality in the spiritual realm? And I think that the struggle is trying to accept and understand that, because all things are in God's control. Yeah. How do we conceive that? How do we understand that? Okay, let's go on. Let's look at things from a different perspective. So, because when we think about this, sometimes we think about one side of the coin and we don't think about the other side of the coin. Okay, something happening in unexpected events happening, or uncertain events happening in our lives, and our plans get twisted, you know, our plans get messed up and they get off track or whatever. You know, there's always two sides to every coin. You know, when it comes to things happening by chance or being at the right place at the right time, if this doesn't work in our favor, we get all twisted and bent out of shape. When things didn't happen in Lolo's favor, she didn't win the gold that she was expected. Guess what? She was crushed. She did all the right things, all the right planning for years in preparation for years. And she was the favorite to win the gold and she didn't win. When this did not happen, when the expected outcome did not happen, she was crushed. When being in the right place at the right time, when by chance, it wasn't about being at the right place at the right time for her. It wasn't about chance for her. It was about planning and preparation for her. And she was crushed. You know, she was seen in the hallway of the arena that she was in, sitting on the floor, screaming, why, screaming to God, why? Why didn't I win, God? Why did you let this happen, God? Why? And she had told her coach that she was retiring from track. You know what her coach said to her? He said, I'll see you at practice tomorrow. We need people like that in our lives. We need people like that in our lives, that when we find ourselves, when unexpected events happen or uncertain things happen in our lives, and it messes up, and what was supposed to be a win for us ends up being a loss for us. We need people in our lives that will say, I will see you at practice tomorrow. In other words, you're not giving up on this thing. You're not turning away on this thing. Yeah, something happened. But think about all those medals that you got. Think about all those trophies that you got. Think about all those records that you made that are still standing. Think about all those wins that you got. Guess what? There have been a whole lot of people that you beat when you won, and they went home crushed with the same feeling that you're feeling right now. There was people that you beat who were expected to win. They did all the right things, and they were expected to win. And here come Lolo Jones, and you beat them. They went home crushed. The same feeling that you're feeling right now, you made a whole lot of people feel that same feeling. He said, so I'll see you at practice tomorrow. I'll see you at practice tomorrow. I know I'm touching somebody right now, ain't I? I know I'm hitting somebody right now. She continued her track career, and she continued to win championships around the world. You know, after that tragedy happened, that unexpected thing happened to her, she didn't win the gold. She continued to race. She continued to win championships around the world. She continued to get medals in U.S. Open, European Open, World Open, all these, you know, track competitions around the world. She made another Olympic appearance. The next Olympics, she made an Olympic appearance running track. And guess what? She made several more Olympic appearances doing what? Bobsledding, of all things. Bobsledding. So she made multiple Olympic appearances. So she is an Olympic athlete. Okay. She did good for herself. She did good for herself. Here's the unique thing about this story. But first, let's look at this scripture again. Verse 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. He says, I have observed something else under the sun on the earth. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. The strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. Paul is letting us know that the best person does not always win. Lolo was the best person, but she did not win. Here's the good news. Somebody say, good news.
Good news.
Here's the good news. That means you have a chance. It means you have a chance. You may not be the best at something that you're pursuing, something that you're planning for, something that you're preparing for, your skill set. You may not be the best. Your athleticism, did I say that right? You may not be the best. You may not be the strongest. You may not be the wisest. You may not be the most skillful. You may not be the most educated. But guess what? This means that you have a chance. You have a chance, okay? Because of time and place, you have a chance. When the right chance comes at the wrong time, is that good? The right chance. If the right chance comes at the wrong time, is that good? No. When the wrong chance comes at the right time, is that good? No. When the wrong chance comes at the wrong time, of course, that's not good. But listen to this. God has the ability to make the right chance come at the right time. Hear me again. God has the ability to make the right chance come at the right time. And that's always good. Always good. Lolo's teammate, Don Harper, she won the gold. Don Harper, she won the gold that when Lolo clipped that hurdle, that ninth hurdle, and missed her chance of winning the gold and that she was expected to win. Don, she ran with Lolo at LSU. She was a teammate with Lolo at LSU. And now here they are, Olympic teammates. And Don, her position on the U.S. Olympic team, she was positioned or placed number 4. So out of all the women that was on that team, she was ranked number 4. Lolo was ranked number 1, and Don was ranked number 4 on that team. Now, Don was not even expected to make it to the gold round. She wasn't expected to be in the race running for the gold. Here she is now winning the gold, the ultimate unexpected. She was not expected to win. And here she is giving the victory lap with the American flag and getting ready to go receive her gold. While Lolo and everyone in her corner were crushed. Lolo crushed. She's given up. She's about to say, she's questioning God. Why, God? Why, God? She's going, I'm quitting track. I ain't running track no more. I'm retiring. Y'all can have it. She's in tears. She's devastated. Everybody in her whole corner, everybody in her whole camp, they crushed. At that very same time, at that very moment, that fractions of a second, when she clipped that ninth hurdle and all the other women ran across that line, what, a second? In a second that happened? You had a whole group of people that was crushed, but at the same time, you had a whole group of people that lost their minds. Everybody, Dawn and all the people in her corner were celebrating. While you got one side that is crushed, you got another side that is celebrating. So here's the question. When we look at that, do we take that and be like, dang, God, he didn't come through on this? So if we take that position, then we're saying that Dawn and all of her people and what she got and whatever, we discredit it. You know, was it by chance or was it by being in the right place at the right time for Dawn, you know, and that she beat out Lolo Jones, the one who was expected to win the gold? Who knows? I don't know. I don't know if it was by chance. I don't know if it was by being at the right place at the right time. What we do know is this, what Paul said in verse number 12, he says, people can never predict when bad times will come. We can never predict in all of your planning and all of your preparation and all of you doing the right thing. We can never predict when bad times will come. But like I said, there's always two sides to every coin. Just like we cannot predict when bad times will come, we cannot predict when good times will come. So how are you going to position your thinking? How are you going to position your mind? Optimistic or pessimistic? I choose optimistic. There are times when chance or being at the right place at the right time works against us. And there are times when, you know, the same thing, you know, chance or being at the right place at the right time, it works in our favor. There are times when God will rearrange things to work in our favor. When that happens, count it all joy. There are times when he won't. And in all of our best efforts, he won't rearrange things to work in our favor. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Just know what the Apostle Paul said. This too I have carefully explored. Even though the actions of godly and wise people are in God's hands, no one knows whether God will show them favor. When the unexpected happens, don't throw your plans away. Adjust them. Rearrange them.
If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.